Take your Bibles this morning, go to Romans chapter number 13. Thank you, Jeremiah. Many of you may be saying this morning, who in the world was that? Because he shaved his beard off. He didn't look like the same man he used to be, amen? Let me tell you who that guy is, to me. Amen? He's a young man that attended our college that told me he was going for 1 year. And then before the year was over, he decided to give God a second year. And he said, "Preacher, God is doing something in my heart. I think I'll just give him my life." That guy's a CDL bus driver. That guy's a bus captain. He's a graduate of Landmark Baptist College, and he's on staff at the Landmark Christian School. All because of what God can do in a person's heart and life. And he's doing it without a beard now. Amen. Not at my request. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. We'll begin in verse number 7 today. I just want to give the title out before I launch forth today. We've been dealing with some things. I want to encourage you because once I start to preach, I'll forget. I want to thank Miss Rebecca Ricks for helping me with this. We do have a petition up on all of the church websites. That means our church website, on the radio, any site that is linked to our church has a link to it for a religious exemption, or it's a religious exemption petition for this current HB1, House Bill 1, and the Senate Bill 220. And I've already heard multiple times this week that a religious exemption cannot be written in the bill. And again, God can do above all I can ask or think. Amen. And I don't know whether the governor will or the legislature will, but I know that for us as God's people, this is a parent choice bill. They've already done some things. I ripped pretty hard on the navigator thing that they were trying to put in. I do believe the legislatures have heard that, and they're going to kill that in the bill. It's already something that they are talking about, and the governor has said, at least through several of his people that are under him, has said that he won't sign the bill with that navigator in it. All right? And so, but all of you, just to put you in perspective and help you understand, all this is being done, and they haven't even really met together. They don't meet till March. So all this is happening in backdoor deals and working on things, and so the legislature is going to meet, but they want to pass this bill. So we need to pray. Along with Restore-a-thon, we're battling on multiple fronts. This fight is not just a one-fronted fight. It's spiritual battle, amen? And so principalities and powers in high places, some of them are in Tallahassee. All right, so we have to battle, and I want you to pray for us as we go through. I want you to get online and sign that. By Wednesday, I'll have a paper copy that will go ahead, and if you allow me to do that, when you sign that petition, I'll allow me to load it. If you can't get on the website and do it yourself, we are just going to take that piece of paper you sign and put it right on that same digital copy online. It's just a religious exemption, and it's a simple thing saying that we want, not only for the, we want the parent to be able to take that voucher anywhere they want to, and for our religious freedoms to be accepted. That it's the, if they're saying it's parent choice and it's true parent money, then the parent should be able to take it anywhere they want without voiding either our ministry's religious beliefs or their personal religious beliefs. So again, they have told me that it's not needed, all right? But I think religious liberty ought to be written into everything for every American, and especially for the Lord's church. We're guaranteed it in the Constitution. And to write a bill, see, a lot of times when money gets involved with anything, they think that they can tie all the strings that they want to you. And so all we're doing is saying, you know what? If you really wanted to, you could cut all the strings and just let a parent make their own choice. Okay? So they've said it can't be done, but this isn't the first time. Amen. So pray with us. Be prepared. We're working on a day that it looks like March 7th is going to be that day. I can't say 100% that we're going to run a bus, but it looks like it. So don't plan anything for March 7th. okay? Because there's a good chance we'll be heading to Tallahassee on that day if you want to ride with us up there. I will already be there for sure, but I think it's almost guaranteed we're going to have a rally for this. And that will be the opening days of the session up there in Tallahassee. So it'd be good for us to show up in force. And I'll give you all the details as soon as I got them. So I'm just trying to say, save the date, because we may need it. All right, we may need you on March 7th. Romans 13, enough of prelude of all the things that I'm going to try to keep out of this. Amen. But if you know anything about the book of Romans and Romans 13, you do realize it's how the Christian deals with government. A lot of times when we talk about separation between church and state, God already wrote it. God told us how we're supposed to deal with the government, and God instituted government and put into its bounds what it's responsible for. It is not responsible to raise our kids. It is not responsible. It is responsible to protect us. That means to make sure, again, when the Bible says thou shalt not kill, there is a government entity that makes sure that if someone does kill, someone steps in. Now, I would love to live under a theocracy. But Romans here deals with a Gentile world that has never had a theocracy, and God puts bounds on government and says, this is what your purpose is. He tells us to fear them if we do evil. The sad thing and the reason we want to fight for our religious liberties is sometimes when we do good, they count it as evil because we live in that day. And this book tells us we live in that day. And so today I want to preach on that day, and this is the title for the tape room, Don't Sleep Through the Alarm. Don't sleep through the alarm. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we come to you this morning, and the best way I know how, I ask you again, God, to use me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to be your messenger boy, to preach the message that you've given me from your word. God, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would do what I can't do and go in the hearts of the hearers and draw men into Jesus Christ. Lift him up with the words that come out of my heart and mouth today. From your word, lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, that men might draw themselves unto him. If there is one here, if there are more than one here, Lord, that don't know Christ as Savior, help them to surrender their heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as their Savior. I pray you'd redeem them today in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 13, and we'll begin in verse 7. Everything I said before about government would be coming up to verse number 7, and then we're going to launch from there. In verse 7, it says, rendering therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor with to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this, saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ills to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. That night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envyings, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We see that the time is late, according to the scripture here. I don't know about you, but I have in the past forgotten to set my alarm. Now, I'm not one to sleep through my alarm. I don't hit the snooze button and sleep on. That's not who I am. Maybe that's who you are. I have a couple boys that have done that before. All right? But I'm one that will forget when I lay down. Now, we live in a weird day, all right? I used to have that alarm clock. You know, when it went off, the radio came on and scared you half to death. But I don't have that anymore. Think about that. That may be one of the reasons you want to give the 90.3. Nobody's going to sleep through Brother Doug waking you up, waking up going, good morning, Central Florida. You're not sleeping through that, right? All right, you're not, you know, and I mean, you know, like everybody else goes to bed to the national anthem, you could wake up to that thing if you listen to Gospel 90.3. But that's not how we do anymore, right? We set our phones. Now when I go to sleep, sometimes when I'm too lazy to roll over, grab the phone, and actually punch in the time I want to set, I tell Siri to do it. If I told her right now, she'd do it. You'd hear my phone over here on the bench come on and go, "Yes, sir." Right? I tell her, now I'm going to try. I'll use Sherry instead of Siri. It don't work the same with her. But anyway, so. She's not here. I know she's watching. I love you, honey. I know you're watching right now. Man, I'm in trouble. Anyway, so. Would you say, "Sherry, set my alarm for this," right? And it's ready to go, right? But the alarm will go off. But you know how many folks in the world, I've gotten so worried, I've done that where I forgot to set it and I had to get up. Or maybe, I don't know if I've done this before, where I had to get up outside of my normal time, even earlier, and I wake up in the middle of the night thinking I slept through it, and I jump out of bed and I start putting my clothes on because I think I've passed the hour. And my wife will go, "Honey, it's 1:30 in the morning. Get back in bed." Because I was afraid I was going to sleep past the time. I was being proactive. Hey, folks, I'm just telling you, all of us can kind of come to a place where we realize, but you know, God's word has an alarm clock in it. It has time set where things are going to happen, and we need to be watching. And especially in this late hour, the Bible has much to say of not going to sleep as a Christian, but being awake. Arise, be alarmed at some things. Beware, woe unto them. It's telling us that we ought to wake up and be aware of our surroundings and not sleep and all of a sudden realize that Jesus has come for us. He tells us and gives us instructions here. We shouldn't sleep through the alarm. I want you to see here, this book is the alarm clock. This book is the one that tells us about times and the end times. It tells us about dispensations of men. It tells us that Jesus is coming back for us. We can read this book and know that the next thing on God's timeline is not the tribulation period, but the rapture of the Lord's church to come back for his own. The catching away of God's people before he begins a tribulation period on earth. We've preached it for years and we believe it. And we need to set the clock and realize that the day is late and Jesus is about to return and it's not time to sleep. It's time to watch. For the bridegroom cometh. See, oftentimes we think we got to watch because we got to watch out. This is all introduction. I'm going to preach in a minute. But when a bride realizes the bridegroom's coming, it's not grievous. See, we think God's, see, he lists off some things here, and he says, he specifically, we think of God's commandments. By the way, people, we always say, you know all those people trying to think they're keeping God's law to be saved? That's so false. Here, even when it talks about the law was fulfilled in love, and it was by the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one that could ever keep it came from heaven and loved me enough to lay his life down for my sin and for your sin. The law was fulfilled in love for the lost. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to seek you and to seek me, to find me, to be able to redeem me back into himself. But this whole book, see, we think 10's not going to cut it, friend. There's one for every day of the year. There's 360 some of these commandments, but we try to boil them down to 10, and we can't even keep them. But God boiled it down to one and kept that for you. He filled all 360 some up, but it was all boiled down out of love. And he does that for you and I, because what am I going to keep? I can't keep all these different things. To please God, I've got to know. He wants me to have faith enough that he's returning for me. Do you know that the Christian ought to be alarmed and ready and waiting? And when, you know, how about that? When a brand new wife just got married and she's made dinner, she doesn't just make dinner and worry. She worries about what she looks like when the husband comes home. She makes herself up and is ready for him to walk in the door. And for us as his church, as the bride of Jesus Christ, we ought to not look at keeping things up or keeping ourselves up as trying to do works for salvation. We shouldn't look at it because we're saved by his works. We're not baptized into salvation. We get baptized because we love him. We want to identify with him. We're not saved because of our own works, because they're as filthy rags. But when I get saved and I have the power of the Spirit of God inside of me, all of a sudden, I want to produce fruit. Do you know, when my wife was young and she's trying to produce fruit, you know what she had ready for me when I came home? Dinner. And she wanted it to be a sweet smelling savor. She wanted me to walk through the door and smell fried chicken. And mashed potatoes without lumps in them. Right? Yeah, not like KFC makes, because they just take that box and squirt it out there, right? I'm talking mashing potatoes, starting with lumps and finishing with none. And you know, after we got going, we were married a little while, you know, she realized, and now I'm not like some of you that drowned everything in ranch dressing. But you know, you get some of them lumps out by putting a little milk in there. Right? But you know, you can thicken them things up by putting a little ranch in the mashed potatoes. And woo! It does something to them. Amen? Accentuates the fried chicken. Hey, you say, you're making me hungry. It's approaching noon. Now come back. Now I got two things. You got the paper you're thinking about looking at. Now you're thinking about lunch. Come back. Listen to me now. Don't sleep through the alarm. Do you know God tells us here that we ought to be prepared, and it ought to be with a heart of love that I want to serve and be prepared for when Jesus comes and gets me. My faith, believing and living every day, is not because I'm witnessing to others, because I'm afraid they're going to miss the opportunity to go with me to God's heaven if they don't get saved. I'm afraid that they're going to miss the boat, so to speak. I'm afraid that I want to be prepared, because I realize that Jesus could come today, and I don't want to be found toying with sin. I want to be found working in the field. I don't want to be found spending my time on myself. I want to be found spending time preparing for him. You say, preacher, it's simple. Yes, it's simple. But how about this? Look at it. Scripture in verse 11. Number one today, I want you to know the time. I want you to know the time. We are in a late hour just before Jesus' return, and we need to wake up and see that this is the last days. It doesn't take long to read the book of Revelation and the seven churches and realize that we exist smack dab in the middle of the Laodicean church age. That means the predominant church of our day is liberal. It doesn't look anything like the church of Jesus Christ. It's off doing whatever it wants to do, singing whatever it wants to sing, acting however it wants to act, dressing however it wants to dress. It doesn't look anything like Jesus' church. You say, your church has so many rules. My church doesn't have rules. Jesus' church has had rules. And it's Jesus' church, and we're still trying to keep what he gave us. We're keeping the doctrines of this book. We're trying to walk with God the way that he laid forth with his disciples. I'm not making excuse for the Lord's doctrines. I won't stand here today and say I'm sorry for doing what God has asked me to do. We live in a day and age where people want to water down the Word of God, not just explain it away, but they've changed it. And if you want to know a real, true Laodicean church, it doesn't have a King James Bible in it. We live in a day and age now where even fundamental churches, so-called, that's quotations if you didn't get them. If you're listening by radio, I'm making hand quotations right now. So-called. Listen, we live in a day and age where people who used to be fundamental are trying to get online and get a fellowship by teaching people how to leave the King James Bible. You say, you mad with them? No. I'm extremely disappointed. Because if you want to break the heart of Jesus Christ, then you will pervert his word. You want to break the heart of God Almighty, then you'll take his very word and leave it and go to something that's better suited for your lifestyle rather than seeing what he wants of you. Hey, that's like trying to change the recipe on Mama's biscuits. You would not, you feel like Mama's biscuits are the most sacred thing in your kitchen and you wouldn't dare change one piece of the recipe. But you'll fool around with God's word. God help us. You better know the time and realize you live in an age where everybody says it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. And God does love you and is willing to redeem you no matter where you are. If you'll turn to him in repentance and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. But then you've got to follow his word. His preserved word. His perfect word. Not a perversion of his word. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to meet Jesus face to face. And again, don't think that those churches are going to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Don't think you did good with the parts of my word that you kept in your word. That's not what they're going to hear. What the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3 to the Laodicean church is repent and buy of me gold tried in the fire. You know what this book is to me? This book is gold. It's been tried in the fire. They've tried to kill this book. They've tried to stomp it out. They've tried to rewrite it and get rid of it, but we still got the King James Bible the way God wants us to have it. It's gold to me. He says maybe you need to rub on some eye salve so you can see clearly because your eyes have been covered by the ways of this world. Listen, we need to know the time that we live in the last days. It says it's high time. Look at the scripture in verse 11. That now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. There is an assumption by the writer that the church has fallen asleep. Do you know we've waited a long time for Jesus' return? And without a doubt, we have needed rest. But this is not talking about physical sleep. It's spiritual sleep. It means you're saved and on your way to heaven, and your salvation is nearer than it's ever been before, but you hit the snooze button when it really mattered. Man, we're always fighting something. I told you last week, I asked Pastor Carter, has it always been like this? One legislative session after the other? Those of you that have been here through most of the 50 years, you realize we are always in a fight for something. Because the world is not getting better, it's getting worse. And it will wax worse and worse according to the scripture when you mark the time as we see the day approaching. And I believe Jesus could break through the sky today, so it's gotten worse. So there's not less to fight, there's more to fight. There's not less of a battle, there's more of a battle. God tells us to wake up here. I see when you wake up, you know what the first thing that happens to me? There's movement. I wake up. I don't know about you, but I'm a morning person. My wife can't stand it. I wake up and I'm all loud, you know? It's like a 300-pound gorilla being in the house. Amen? Just banging around, beating around. And I was like, oh, was that too loud? Did I wake you up? She said, I know when you're up. Hey, I start singing. God's given me a song. He put it in my heart. It should come out of my mouth. Maybe not in the morning, but it does. Amen. I sing in a whole, like I drop a whole octave, man, when I'm singing in the morning. I'm a bass singer in the morning. God is so good. Because I know the time. God's good. I need to hear that, right? And I get excited. Listen, he goes on, but listen, if you don't realize the connotation here, he drops in the next verse, the night is far spent. He means we've been through the watch of the night, and he goes, the day is at hand. That means daybreak is upon us, folks. And at daybreak, I believe, I don't know about you, but when I think about my Redeemer returning, he comes in a night watch just as the day and the sun breaks through in the morning, and Jesus will appear and get his church. That's the connotation I see here. I get excited that I realize, you say, how many, I don't worship the sunrise, neither do I, but listen, it reminds me that God has been faithful to me through another night, and that the sun rises on a brand new day, not because it can under its own power, but because he can, because he made it rise, because he made it go another day. And then I serve him another day, because one day he'll come back for me. One day, listen, I think about those virgins in the book, and they've got their trying to trim their lamps because the night is far spent and the morning is about, it gets darkest right before the dawn, and Jesus is about to break forth. Hey, folks, I'm just telling you, that trimming of the lamp, the church ought to look at what we're practicing. Look how we're loving. Look how we're acting, and trim up the lamp. Get back in the fight. Amen. Don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. Wake up to the fact that we're about to go home. The night is far spent. The daybreak is upon us. Wake up. Jesus is on his way. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but I want to be found faithful. He says, wake up. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Then he says, let us, speaking to the church, therefore, cast off the works of darkness. How could I be a part of the works of darkness? The darkness pumps into your phone on a daily basis. You swipe through darkness on a daily basis. You watch commercials of darkness come across your screen. Cast off, you say, am I supposed to throw my phone? Listen, I don't know about anybody else, but I know for sure we live in a day where we think that thing, and we are completely dependent upon it. But that thing right there, do you know how much more time God would have with you? How much more time God would own of your thought life? If you would just realize the time you spend on it and set it aside and give that time to God. Now, I know it's not popular preaching, but I don't work for you. I work for God. Amen. And I'll say what he wants me to say. Amen. Hey, let me just say this. He comes to the place here. He says, cast off the works of darkness. I don't know where that strikes you today, but I'm just telling you, we live in a day, an evil day. And if we're not careful, it's kind of an idea that you don't even have to be involved in something wrong, but darkness is trying to get on you. Light casts out darkness. And so he goes on and says, and let us put on the armor of light. It means don't let darkness uncover you or surround you. Don't let darkness come and overtake you. You put on the armor of light. Now here, I grew up in a youth group, and I've got to press fast here, but I grew up in a youth group, and I used to think, I'm not sure. You know what I mean? I mean, we were like men's men in my youth group. And ladies, ladies. We had a good youth group. You know what we called ourselves? Soldiers of the Light. We had jackets. It wasn't like pink ladies. We didn't wear pink jackets. They were red jackets, like redeeming red. Amen? And it had white letters all over it. Soldiers of the Light. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, young people, it matters what you spend your time in. Young people, it matters what you hold up as something that's important and is going to be pure and holy in your life. It matters what you invest yourself in. You know, this idea of casting off light, that means I've got to put on the armor of God every day. How do you keep the devil out of your mind? You put on the helmet of salvation. And remember that you're saved and on your way to heaven. I'm not like everybody else. I'm not supposed to think like everybody else. I got a helmet of salvation. I'm not like everybody else. I'm not going to let unrighteousness in my heart and desire the wrong thing. I'm going to put on the breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to gird my loins in truth. I'm not going to be like the rest of this world, looking at the wrong thing and thinking about the wrong thing. I'm going to gird my desires with truth in the Word of God. Do you know most of this world is buried in looking at the wrong thing, wishing for the wrong thing, and all of that is because they don't live in truth. They want to live in some fantasy land. All the designs of all the digital world is to get you out of reality and put these goggles on you where you can live outside of this current true world and live in some digital world. That's fake. It's fake. It's fake. And we're pushing towards that. We're pushing people towards it. I wanted to throw up in my mouth when I heard the first time they were going to have them goggles and they're going to have virtual church. Put some goggles on and sit in your living room and feel like you're inside the building. Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more. Every one of those verses are tied to the return of Jesus Christ. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. God knew in the late day. You take this Bible and mark her down, friend. God knew in this Laodicean church age, the devil was going to try to raise up every evil thing in this evil day to try to draw people away from the truth of God's word and his church. You say, preacher, what am I supposed to do? Put on the armor of light. It'll shine out to the darkness. When it tries to creep up on you, darkness and light cannot exist in the same space. They can't overtake one another. When there's a shining armor on me, then I can't be overtaken by the darkness. I got to wake up every morning. Think about this. How about this for you? What's the most important meal of the day? You've been told by the world. Breakfast. Feed your flesh before you go out and get after everything. It's the most important day. Well, what's the most important spiritual meal of the day? Breakfast. Before you leave the house and you go thinking wrong, before you get a bad attitude, before you run out there, take care of your spiritual need first. It'd set a whole different tone for your day if you'd get in God's word and realize I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I ain't supposed to act or talk like the rest of these crazy people out in the world. I'm bought with a price. It would change some things for us for the rest of the day. It may set a tone for your day that you act like a Christian the rest of the day instead of like somebody else that desperately wants to cast darkness on you. You ever gone through the day feeling like there's been a shadow of darkness cast over you? That cloud is like, I got this rain cloud over me. It's because you didn't take time to put on the armor before you went out of the house in the morning. It's because you didn't take time to fill yourself up with the spiritual need that you had. We're so ready to feed the flesh when the spirit is so weak because we never feed him. And it's going to be a battle every day of the flesh against the spirit. Finally, I want you to see this. He says, let us walk honestly as in the day. I just want to say, don't sleep through your alarm. Wake up and realize, be honest with yourself where you are. If you're here this morning and you're lost, wake up and smell the roses and realize that there's a devil's hell and there's heaven. And the only way to go to heaven is to be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. He shed that blood on Calvary, laid down his life, and rose again on the third day that you might have victory if you'll put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and his finished work. But be honest with yourself today, Christian. Did you get saved and where are you at today? How is your walk? Let us walk honestly as in the day. Think about this, not in rioting. Do you know, I've been in some church services that they say that they're slain in the spirit. I've been in some church services that, man, it looks like a nightclub. Now, don't get mad. I'm just saying, it looks a lot like rioting to me. Looks like a big party. God's church don't look like a party. Not the one that follows his doctrine. Now, you may find a book that they call the Bible that they've watered down to a place where they think they can party on Sunday. But this ought to be God's house. God said his house would be a house of prayer. Not a big house of party. He says here, and drunkenness. So, what are you drunk with? Say, isn't it okay to take a drink every once in a while? Not if you have the King James Bible. This book still tells the truth on alcohol. That wine is a mocker. You say, not even one every once in a while? Not even one every once in a while. Not in chambering and wantonness. Now, I'm going to stick. I ain't even going to take time to preach because I don't have time on chambering. But on wantonness, we live in a day and age. We live in a country of people that are never happy with what God has already blessed you with. But we always want something more. We're always looking for tomorrow's blessing instead of looking back on what God's already done for us, how good he's already been. Do you know God is so good? I mean, he already tells you, even when you follow his word, I mean, just some simple things about getting in and being blessed, about serving God, giving to God's causes and his tithe and his offerings, how you can't outgive him. But we still live in wantonness. And if we're not careful, we'll give instead of giving to give God glory for what he's blessed us with. We'll give to get. And that's a wrong mindset. You know that some people preach that, but they don't have the King James Bible. I give because I owe it to God, my tithe. I give an offering because God has blessed me. And I want to be blessed by being able to give to others as he's given to me. That's God's word. That's where God's blessings can flow. But give to get? Come on now. He says, let us walk honestly. Honestly, this morning, where are you at? Think about this. This book itself, this is the instrument. You know, there's a time instrument on the back wall back there. It's a clock, right? Anything that keeps time, we can call it like an instrument of time. I heard about a plane that was found recently in the Sahara Desert. It's a World War II bomber. This World War II bomber was completely intact. They landed that joker in the sand. By careful inspection after the Army was reported, they've dug her out enough to know that the name on it was Lady Be Good. And Lady Be Good was lost, and they didn't know where she went. Went off the radar screen, and they couldn't find her, and so it began to solve the mystery of what happened. She was, during World War II, given a bomber run in northern Africa, set out to drop bombs. But she was with a different group, a carrier there. She had an engine that was getting hot. So they flew up to a higher altitude to cool off the engine. Weren't with the other bombers where they could see them. They were in the cloud cover. They were way above the cloud cover. What they didn't realize was when they got up in that higher air current, it was moving twice as fast as all the other air below them. And although all their instruments, upon inspection, were all still working correctly inside the plane, they didn't believe them. They were tapping the instruments, going, that can't be right. We've gone twice. It says that we're moving twice as fast as we were before. That can't be right. It says that we're supposed to come down out of the clouds. I know it's not time yet. I mean, I can stay up here for a while longer. We shouldn't be over the area of the bombing run for another 30 minutes, but it says we're there. They kept tapping the instruments. When they finally came out of the clouds, there were no other bombers around. When they had flown the time that they thought, the instruments told them when to come down and when to bomb, but they didn't listen to them. They came down and all of a sudden they're over a desert. There's no landmarks to guide them. No other planes to fly with. They can't get anybody on the radio. That plane was in the desert 400 miles past where they were supposed to bomb. And like anybody else, when you get into a place where you don't know, you just pick a direction and you fly or run in that direction because you don't have any directional movements. They flew on a straight path out over the Sahara Desert till they ran out of gas and they landed their plane. They found every one of the men's bodies just a few feet from the plane where they all had died of thirst. None of them died in the crash. They all died because they had no things to sustain them in the desert where they were never supposed to be. You know why? Because the instrument told them when to go down and what to do and how to follow, but they kept tapping it going, it can't be true. That can't be right. That can't be accurate. Everybody else is doing this. That can't be the way. Folks, this instrument is what we're supposed to follow. It's always right. Doesn't matter which direction the world is flying. Doesn't matter when the world says it's done and over with. God's going to say when it's over. God's going to show us the way. Hey, folks, Sometimes we find ourselves, listen, the church at Laodicea, you know how it ends? Jesus knocking on the door going, I'm outside, could I come in? Because they're not the church of Jesus Christ anymore. They've set their own way. They got their own instrument, and it isn't his. And he's on the outside going, hey, the danger is, Christian, if you're not careful, when you decide to live your own way, go your own way, you may have Jesus outside of your own life, knocking on the door of your heart, saved and on your way to heaven, and Jesus is going, could I be a part of your life? Could you acknowledge me? I love you. I died for you. I paid for your way to heaven. Hey, folks, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, I know what he's doing. He's knocking on your heart's door saying, I'd love to save you. I'd love to save and redeem you and take you to myself that you might be saved and on your way to heaven. Listen, I don't know how God is dealing with your heart personally this morning, but I know he's trying to draw you unto himself. Whether you're a Christian and you've gotten away from him a little way, you're flying on your own instruments, or maybe you're a Christian, you're a lost man that wants to be a Christian, somebody who's never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, why don't you come to him today? He'll accept you. He's knocking on your heart's door saying, let me come in. I want to save you today if you'll just let me. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? As the musicians come this morning, I'll ask you today we tried to turn the alarm on and just let you know, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're not 100% sure of heaven, you can come to him today. We'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're saved. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, then do that today. I beg you to do that today. If you're here and you are a Christian, but you've gotten away from God, why don't you come down to the altar and let him alter your life? Why don't you come down and say, God, I don't want my way anymore. I want your way. I want to walk with you like we used to. As the piano begins to play, I'm going to step out and meet you in the front. As Brother Bert sings, you come if you need to be saved.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Would you bow your head with me this morning? Folks have come. You can come too. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you don't know heaven would be your home, why don't you step out? This is an invitation for you to come to the front. And before you leave the building today, put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. If you step out, we'll take a Bible and show you how you can know that for sure. Maybe you're here and you're saved, but you've never been baptized, and God is desperately calling you to step out with the first step of obedience of the Christian and be baptized. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to join this local church. You're saved, you've been baptized, but you need to be a member of this good local church. Why don't you come and do business with God today? We'd love to accept you into our membership. As Brother Bert sings, you do what God asks you to do.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as sight riches, healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
With heads bowed and eyes closed, we've come to that place where we'll ask you one more time. You've held on for a long time thinking maybe they'll end the invitation. This invitation is for you. You thought we'd finish without you, but we desperately want you to be saved. We realize that if you don't accept heaven, then you're already on your way to hell. A place prepared for the devil and his angels, not prepared for you. And we don't want you to spend eternity there. So as Brother Burt sings one more, why don't you step out and let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure of heaven. Brother Burt, would you sing?
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Amen. All right. I appreciate you being so patient with us. If you'll be seated, we have a few things to share with you. Lucian Honeycutt has come today. He's received Jesus as his Savior, and he wants to join the church through baptism. His parents have given us permission. Amen. You can give him a hand. Amen. Amen. We're excited for him. All right. How many would welcome him in with the right hand of fellowship and so carried? All right, Lucian, if you'll go right there with Brother Spadano, and the guys will take you around back. I'll be right there in a minute, all right, to baptize you. Maybe. All right, so Ms. McCory, is it Corey?
McCary,
okay. Just wanted to make sure I did it right. And she comes today and moving her membership. She's been saved and baptized, wants to move her membership here to our church this morning. How many would welcome her into the fellowship? Amen. And so carried. And if you would, Ms. McCary, if you'll just wait. And then after the service is over, if you'll let people come by and welcome it into the fellowship. All right. All right, Brother Burt, we want you to lead us in a song. You don't have to sing by yourself.
Amen.
All right.
I don't like to sing by myself. I'd rather hear you all sing. You'll do a good job. So turn to 328. 328. King of my life, I crown thee now. Lead me to Calvary, lest I forget thine enemy, thine agony. Amen. 328.
King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget my thorn crown brow. Lead me to Calvary, lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast laid, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robes of light arrayed guarded thee whilst thou slept. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. Let me like Mary through the gloom come with a gift to thee. Show to me now the empty tomb. Lead me to Calvary, lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. of grief to share. Thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary.
Uh-oh. I hear water. Amen.
Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, grip me tight, buddy. Hold on tight tomorrow, okay? I do baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in the newness of life. Amen. Let's stand together. I hope if you didn't get one of those flyers for Restore-a-Thon, make sure you take it with it. Please go by and sign up on the sheet to pray. We need your prayers and your pledges to make Restore-a-Thon what it ought to be. And Ms. McCary, if you'll just stand in the front there and let people, will you please come by and shake her hand? All right, Brother Perkins, go ahead and pray for us if you would close this out.
Let's pray. Father, we do love you. We do thank you for the message that we heard this morning. Father, we ask that you'll allow us to take it with us and meditate upon it, apply it to our lives. And Father, we do thank you for the one that has given his life to you and was baptized this morning. And we do thank you for a new sister that's joining the church, Lord. And we just pray that you'll continue to bless there. And Father, as we dismiss this morning, we pray that you'll take us home, bring us back safe tonight. We love you and we praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen.